each and every show here on America Tonight. As you all know, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. We have the grand dame of the operation with us this time around, Ellen Ratner. Hey, Ellen, how are you?
I am good.
Is it cold yet in Washington? I've been looking at the temperatures.
No, it's really actually very nice. Hopefully we'll have a warmer year this year.
Yeah, cross your fingers for that one. Talk about warmer. It wasn't a very warm reception that the president got when it came to the plans that he's announced in Nevada for the foreclosures, because a lot of people feel like it's just not enough. Flush that out a little bit for us. And when I say he's getting grief, it's not from Republicans. We're talking about some of the more liberal folks in Congress.
That's exactly right. Well, the issue is are they really going to help people whose mortgages are underwater? They say yes, they are, because they're going to make it so the banks basically are not going to be in trouble in terms of buying back mortgages, bad first mortgages. But other people are saying that it really isn't enough, that somehow you have got to have not fallen back on your mortgage. And then it's sort of a catch-22, and they're saying, well, it's a first step to make more money available, but it isn't really going to solve the problem.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that tonight on the show. Keep this number handy, folks, 800-259-5791. Jumping around, this is big. You've got a lot of human rights groups and the UN human rights folks who want an investigation. We've been talking about this, too, obviously, into Muammar Gaddafi's death and some other bodies that are starting to pile up because now they're finding more bodies. What do you know about this?
Well, what I know is, of course, Gaddafi was not taken to The Hague like he was supposed to, not tried in his own country, which would have been a good idea. But he was essentially murdered. And they also found, near where Gaddafi was shot, there's something like 52, or I forgot what the number is, I think I sent it to you, of exact, people who were killed, who were essentially executed, people who were Gaddafi loyalists. At 53 bodies they found.
Wow.
And that's a lot. Not exactly hopeful that a new administration isn't going to act like Gaddafi.
Yeah. Yeah, and the new administration, and we've been also talking about this with some terror experts, are talking about Sharia law, of course, as you know.
Yeah, well, I've seen what happens when people don't like Sharia law.
Yeah.
And that's like in South Sudan, 2 million people were killed because South said no thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we'll flush that out, too, some more, obviously, on this version of America Tonight. Another thing that you sent me, and it set off the red flags, I was thinking, oh, wow, that's right. The Debt Commission with a big hearing coming up this week, and they don't really do very many public ones. How many times have they done this?
This is number 4.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can't.
And it's a little bit of a dog and pony show, and everybody's saying, what's this about?
Yeah, what is it about? We'll have to wait and find out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's why I said, I was thinking, what does that mean? What's going on there? And then something else that's interesting, too, is tell us about this Lincoln-Douglas debate that they're going to have in the Lone Star State in Texas.
It happened in your area, well, not your area, but Texas.
Yeah.
And that is going to put Newt Gingrich and Herman Cain fighting about money, debating about money. It's going to be interesting because, of course, Gingrich is not much of a businessman, but he's very, very smart. And Cain is a businessman, but not necessarily as smart as Newt. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. One last one. Everybody has a book. Everybody has a book. And now the First Lady has one coming out. What's it about?
Well, it's about her garden. And it's called the American, American Garden. And it is how the White House Kitchen Garden, American Grown, how the White House Kitchen Garden inspires families, schools, and community. April 10th.
All right, April. We'll see. Well, I'm sure by then there'll be some other political folks on a different side of things that will drop some books. This would be interesting to find out. How many politicians a year have a memoir come out or has some sort of a book while they're currently in office. What do you think it is, Ellen? I say dozen.
I actually, because there's 435 House members, 100 senators. So I would say it's under, in a lifetime with a senator or member of Congress, probably, I would say, no more than 20%.
20%. All right, I'm going to try to find out that answer. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News. That's trivia. It'd be interesting to find out. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, as always, we kick it all over the place with Ellen. You know, one of the things that we talked about there in is what's going to happen now in place of Gaddafi, as I mentioned, the fact that you've got Sharia law in place in Libya, and there's all kinds of questions about his death, and she and I were talking about that. Gaddafi is going to be buried, they say, Tuesday. This is 5 days after he was killed. And, of course, his body has been on display in Misrata in a meat market. As I said, it was like this locker with glass across the top. People were punching it, and people were spitting on the glass and that kind of stuff. So the bodies of Gaddafi, his son, and his former, one of his sons anyway, and his former defense minister have been there for the public viewing, and it was just really no joke. I saw a shot of it, a cold storage unit, and I, you know, I don't blame the people. Come on, he was absolutely a dictator, terrorist thug. So there he was on display. Gaddafi's family issued a statement calling on the United Nations and Amnesty International to push Libya's new leadership to hand over the bodies and so they can be buried according to Islamic rites. And it looks like that happened the day before. As you know, Mustafa Abdul Jalil, the chairman of the council, the National Transitional Council's military arm in Tripoli, who's now leading Libya, said that the group had been established to deal with how to handle the body, you know, that they had put a group together to do that. So there's not a lot of details on it. It's sketchy, although they say they're going to do this. They're going to hand over the body. So how about that? And there's still, like I said, murky details on what happened. You know, shooting erupts. Gaddafi was shot in the head. He died when he got to the hospital. That's what the coroner is saying anyway. So you have Human Rights Watch, who's all over this. They found at least 95 people who had died that day. The majority died in the fighting and NATO strikes prior to his capture. But then that's where this is all unclear. Between 6 and 10 of them look like they were executed at the site where Gaddafi was with gunshot wounds to their head and their body. So, you know, something obviously went down there and they're trying to figure out what it was that happened. Now, moving forward, I think the thing that's interesting, and we're going to talk with Jeff Atticott about this next, a conversation that many of you missed and wanted to hear. Now that you've got this situation with radical Islam, rather, spreading in what they're calling the new Middle East, what happens? What about the Iraqi Christians, for example? There's about 400,000 people that have left that country over the last decade as, you know, power fell increasingly in the hands of the Shia Islamic leaders. Also in Egypt, home to at least 8 million Christians, a number that exceeds the populations of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Tunisia. At least 95,000 Christians, they say, have immigrated since March 2011, and we have the situation in Libya, too. Jeff Atticott coming up round the bend here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, the big news, we've been talking about it here this entire hour, is the fact that the deposed Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, has been killed, and we're getting all kinds of reaction to it and to what's happened, what's going to happen next in that country. Is it going to be Sharia law, the hardline Sharia law, that's ultimately what's going to happen in that country, and what the people are going to have to abide by and live with, we'll say. Who better to have on the show than terrorism expert Jeff Attica? Jeff, thanks so much, as always, for coming on.
Hey, Kate, always a pleasure.
Gaddafi, your initial reaction when you heard what happened?
Well, you know, I was. It was like, wow, really? You had billions of dollars and you didn't get out of the country and, you know, live the rest of your life in Africa. It really, I mean, that was my first thought. Just didn't make a lot of sense from a rational point of view. But of course, he is a megalomaniac and likes the power lust and ego lust is a lot stronger in his soul than anything else. So, yeah, good riddance to him. However, it's not necessarily going to be a rosy picture in the future. I think in a year from now, or even 6 months from now, the question is going to be, are we better off today, 6 months in the future, or should we not have spent that billions of dollars and driven Gaddafi out of power?
Yeah, because you heard what I said, the Sharia law, it looks like that's what might be standing here. We're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. So now you're saying from the frying pan to the fire or whatever you want to call it. But what does that mean for Libya?
Well, it can mean very bad things. I mean, remember, the goal of al-Qaeda was to replace the puppet regimes, which is Mubarak and Gaddafi, which were not radicalized. In other words, he was a bad guy, dictator, terrorist. But he wasn't motivated by radical Islam. He was motivated simply by power and terror and wanted to extend his power, like Saddam Hussein. But he locked up the radical Islamic extremists, and so they were in the cage. Now all the jails are emptied, and these radical Islamic extremists are heavily armed, and they are salivating at the mouth because they see this as a power vacuum, an opportunity for them to take power. And I think they're going to probably try to weasel their way into power, as we saw in Iran. I don't think there's going to be another, you know, massive civil war between the radicals and the more moderates in Libya. I think they're going to try to co-opt the moderates. And then, of course, when they seize power, they'll kill a lot of the moderates and take total control. If I was a betting person, I would say that's exactly what's going to happen in Libya. And again, this would not be happening if Obama had not started this war, spent $1 billion of our dollars that we don't have to drive Gaddafi out of power with no plan on what to do next. Because if you don't have American soldiers on the ground, you can't influence what's going to happen in Libya. I know Obama is going to try to pump in, you know, multi-millions of dollars to the quote-unquote good Libyans so they'll take power. But there's no guarantee that you can get anything out of that money. And, of course, we're going to have to borrow the money from China even to do that.
So, once again, it comes back to the same thing. No plan, no end game, and all the money spent leaves Libya as kind of a misfit now country, and we've just walked away spending all that money, and it won't really matter that much for the United States, other than we'll have another radicalized sort of regime in there, which spells disaster certainly for the people there and for another country in the Middle East, and who knows, what kind of hornet's nest opens up and who tries to come and do whatever to the Western world. Is that what you think?
Exactly. You know, once again, President Obama's on the wrong side of history. I know he's doing the victory lap right now, and it's going to be a short lap because this thing's going to unravel very quickly. We're going to see some measures and some gestures towards, quote-unquote, open elections like we're going to see in Egypt. But at the end of the day, it's not going to have a happy ending. There's simply not that much to hope for. And as I said, unless we, you know, how can we influence what happens? We really can't. They've got the oil. We can't cut off anything to that country because they don't need us, really. We need them. We need the oil. We need the cooperation. And if that turns into a radical regime, then I guarantee you they will start to acquire weapons of mass destruction like Iran. We're going to see a proliferation of countries that want bigger and bigger weapons and pick up the cry of radical Islam. So it could very well be a much worse situation. And my complaint is, don't take these actions unless you've got a clear insight or end game in mind. And from the very get-go, as everybody recalls, you know, Obama was not telling us the truth. He was, you know, on his way out to vacation in South America. He said, oh, by the way, we just started a war, but I'm not going to call it a war, and we're not going to take sides, and NATO is going to lead this effort. We're just protecting civilians. I mean, these were all things that weren't true.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. It's like you said, you brought up Iran and the weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, we just saw what happened with Iran and the Saudi ambassador and the attempt to assassinate him, that plan that unraveled that would have maybe taken place in Washington. That's what presumably was going to happen there. What do you think we've had now in a couple decades, 19 sanctions, economic sanctions leveled at Iran and hasn't done anything. What do you think the play should be with Iran?
Well, you know, many people are very suspicious of the timing of the Department of Justice when they released this quote-unquote arrest. Because they've been sitting on this news for quite some time. And as you recall, the very same time that they released this story was the moment when there was a lot of interest in Holder and how he had been covering up in this Fast and Furious, either lying to Congress or you're incompetent. I mean, it's one or the other. He's saying, well, I didn't know anything about it. My chief of staff did, blah, blah, blah. So that says that you're incompetent, or the other option is you lied. And both of them are not good options. So all of a sudden this story is released about this low-level schmuck in South Texas that, is working with these undercover people to try to pull off this assassination of the Saudi ambassador. Call me cynical, but I'm just not buying it because the administration, even today, has not released any emails, any detailed information linking this to the top of the Iranian government. And, I'm sorry, I need to see some evidence because my trust meter is simply not there anymore with this administration, unfortunately. I want to see some evidence. If you're saying that another nation state is plotting this attack, those are very serious charges. Show us the email, come public with it, because until you do that, I'm going to have a healthy skepticism about how deep and how far and how high this plot really ran.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't think that originally, but then when I dug a little deeper recently, I've arrived at the same conclusion that you have, because I was trying to shake the tree with the FBI and some contacts I had there, and they were there was a lot of holes in the story. In other words, I couldn't get anything direct, and so it seemed to me like it was more fluff than actual stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's what we, you know, if you're gonna make these claims, and they're very serious claims, that another nation state is going to conduct an act of violence on our shores that could kill American people, you need to come up with some evidence. You need to come up with something other than believe me. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, I got to ask you this one last thing about these five guys, these five young men that were trying to break into the Bexar County courthouse. And the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they're investigating this of whether or not it was some kind of a prank, or is it part of a terrorism plot? What do you know about that?
Well, when the initial story broke, I mean, you know, the Supreme Court said last year that you can consider the race of individuals when you're looking at terrorism that's sponsored by radical Islam. There's going to be a disproportionate people that are going to be involved in radical Islam that are from Middle Eastern countries. So, that's the Supreme Court of the United States in a recent case. And these guys had a profile. They were from Morocco. They were Muslim. They were breaking into our courthouse at dark 30 hours in the morning. Some were waiting in a van and some were in the courthouse. So all that together, absolutely, our first impression has to be that this could be a terrorist incident based on the post-9/11 world, the number of terrorist incidents that we've broken up in this country. The FBI did the right thing by initially, you know, going after these folks in that view, and the FBI has lead authority for all terrorist activities in the country. So when they took the case, that's an indication that there were some factors that added up, needed to be looked at. And I did a couple interviews right off the bat, and I said, of course, we need to look at this, and of course, we can't stick our head in the sand and say, well, we can't say anything because they're Muslims or from Morocco. Yeah, that's part of the information that you can use and put in the equation. Because that, you know, along with the fact that you're breaking into the courthouse at night and there's some out in the car and there's some in there, you know, five people, so, I think it was a correct thing. It turns out, as far as we know, that as the investigation continues, that perhaps these guys were just, you know, idiots and, been drinking a little bit too much maybe and wearing sombreros and kind of doing dumb things. But, you know, if you're a Moroccan in this country, you've got to realize in the post-9/11 world that you're going to draw suspicion on yourselves when you and your buddies start doing activities together that are illegal and criminal in groups. So that's not a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff Atticott, of course, terrorism law expert, thanks so much for joining us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Good tonight. Hey, topping the headers, because you got to hit the headlines at least once during the hour, right? Of course, the big stuff we were talking about, the top, the what we care about, the politics, the buzz in your backyard. And a lot of the buzz, frankly, is over the Middle East. And, geez, what's going to happen here? Is it going to be Islamic reign? Is it going to be Sharia law spread across and abound and all over the place? Because certainly it's looking that way. Also talking about Gaddafi and what actually happened in his death, because there's lots of questions and there's no answers. So now there's a lot of digging for those answers. Yeah. In the meantime, if we get closer to home, one of the big things that happened during the day, and we talked about it just a tiny bit at the very, very top of the show, is the president offering mortgage relief to hundreds of thousands of Americans, right? The attempt is to ease, I guess, political fallout is what I'm thinking from the housing crisis that he can't shake, that he has not been able to shake since he, you know, since he really took office. And he's saying, listen, because he picked the perfect place for this. He went to Las Vegas, which, of course, is ground zero for ridiculous underwater home stories where people are just walking away. They have no jobs. They have no hope, and they are walking away from a lot of these houses. There's foreclosures everywhere in all kinds of neighborhoods. So he's saying he doesn't have patience for no excuses. It's Washington's fault, and that the new rules for federally guaranteed loans are a recognition that the measures that the administration has taken on housing haven't worked. He's saying, you know, we can't wait any longer, that something has to happen now. So he's going to announce plans, again, in the planning stages, or measures, as they officially call it, meaning here's my suggestion, let's see what they do with it in Congress, to make it easier, for example, for college graduates to pay back federal loans, that kind of stuff. And then this is the other thing with what's happening with Americans who are screwed up, you know, with their mortgages, that there has to be some kind of a relief for those people. So this is what we're going to see constantly. It's going to be going back and challenging the Republicans and highlighting that we can't wait. We can't wait any longer. We have to have jobs. Now, under Obama's proposal, homeowners who are still current on their mortgages would be able to refinance no matter how much their home value has dropped below what they still owe. Woo! How do you right the ship on that one? It's good for the people, but where's all this money coming from? So at the time that he said that, the second it left his lips, he acknowledged that his proposal won't do all that it's needed to do to get the housing market back on its feet. Now, of course, if you're in that situation, you would grab that brass ring. I mean, if you're in this situation and you can refi, so now you get to bounce down no matter what the value has dropped. You're at the poker table and suddenly you have some fresh cards. You got a fresh hand. You're not out of this game yet. So the inventory of unsold places, like in Nevada, it's true, it'll take a long time to figure that out. And we're talking about all kinds of neighborhoods. It's not, you know, we're not talking about just ghetto. We're not talking about high end. We're talking about really nice upper middle class neighborhoods in a lot of cases. Check out this number. So it was a stroke of brilliance for his campaign to actually go out there and make this speech there. And think about it. The Republicans, this is going to be a swing state. Nevada, the Republicans were just there last week for their latest debate. Check out this number. One in every 118 homes in the state of Nevada got a foreclosure notice in September. One out of 118. Of course, that's the highest number in the country. It's brutal. So what do? They stage a visit to the home of Jose and Lizette Bonilla. They're grocery store workers whose house was refurbished under a program that was paid for by the economic stimulus plan the first time around in 2009. And she said on cue that if they didn't have the stimulus plan, all the members of her family would be living in a one-bedroom apartment. So they're really doing a job on the blueprints for the run. You know, hope and change you can count on. Now, I guess, change that we're going to cram down your throats. So the president was also using Vegas for something else, to promote a $15 billion neighborhood revitalization plan that, again, is tied back to the jobs proposal that would help redevelop abandoned and foreclosed properties and stabilize some of these neighborhoods that are affected by it. Because if all your neighbors are foreclosing, well, duh, losing, of course, you're in the same boat with them. And the Federal Housing Finance Agency, right, what they're going to do, people who are stuck with 6 or 7% mortgage rates, they're going to refi and take advantage of some lower rates. Gee, does that apply to everyone? Is everybody going to refi? We're going to be a nation of refiers. Everyone's refiing. Somebody's going to make money off of that. Here's the problem. He's been dogged for this $447 billion jobs package, and they're trying every single way they can to figure out a push on passing the bill. Remember the "I want it back, give me the bill back" after a couple of weeks, then pass this bill, call your congresspeople, it's their fault. I think they're just going to pound this into the ground. Pull out every little piece of it and pound it into the ground. And I still don't think it passes. Maybe a few pieces of it, but the whole thing, no matter how much he goes out and meets people that have had success in the past because of a previous stimulus, no matter what happens there, it's not passed, and there is no way this is passing. There's other legislation that had a very tough time and had to be pushed up the hill, I think, that still had an easier road than this. It's not going to happen in an election year. It's not going to happen with the squabbling between the Republicans and the Democrats. And it's not going to happen because of the spending versus taxes versus raising the fees. It all comes down to that. It all comes down to the simple mantra that both sides, meaning Democrats and Republicans, have adopted. And what you believe is the solution to solving the financial crisis. I mean, the chunk of this audience, so many of you that have called in, you're all for a fair or flat tax. Jay in Kentucky, you could point to Mark in New York, you could point to Tomas in Michigan, and so many others of you who have sent me emails, which, by the way, we'll check the mail at the tail end of the hour. So, yeah, you might want the fair or the flat tax, just like I do. But trust me, that's not happening overnight, and not with the amount of government jobs that we're talking about with the IRS. Not happening. All right, I want to break away from something else. So do you think this mortgage relief is really mortgage relief? Will you run out? I mean, here's the question. How many of you will run out and refinance if you can with these loans? I mean, will you take advantage of it? Are you one of the people, is my voice hitting somewhere in some corner of the world where you really are stuck and this refinance will save your bacon, whether you would vote for Obama or not? Hey, this will work for you. How many people will it work for? I mean, that's my big question. How many people will it work for? And ultimately, what is it going to do to the rest of us? You know, this whole just walk away thing that happened? Everybody eventually has to pay, right? So this time, there wasn't someone to blame from the previous administration, actually. This is just another carrot to hold out to people who, in my opinion, probably won't qualify. And they won't qualify because there's the other part of it. Okay, so refinancing, great, but do you qualify? You know, you got to qualify, go through that whole process. And, yeah, so it might sound good, but who's shaking the money tree to help these people that are in this situation where what are they going to do? Oh, I had a job, but now we're both unemployed. I'm married or I'm living with someone or I'm whatever, or my family. I have XYZ amount of people in my family. You're not refinancing it on that. I don't think so. All right, quickly, because I have a lot of motorcycle buddies, I have to throw this in here. Somebody sent me an email. It was Jake in Austin who said, man, my hog is getting recalled. And I was like, I knew right away what he was talking about. See? Surprising, huh? And he said, he told me to look something up, but apparently they've got 308 thousand motorcycles, and almost all of them are in the U.S., that they're asking to bring back in because they got to fix a switch problem. That, check this out, and this is a biggie. It could cause failure of the brake lights and possibly even the rear brakes themselves. Oh, you know, you're on your motorcycle. Are you kidding me? You're ripping it up somewhere 70 miles an hour or more than that, and the brake lights don't work or the rear brakes don't work? Oh, that's a big problem. By the way, it's the Touring, it's the CVO Touring, and the Trike motorcycles from 2009 through 2012. Those are the models that they're talking about. So if you ride a Harley, check it out and take her in.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Of an hour or two of America Tonight, if you've listened for any length of time, I always say, hey, if you can't pull your thoughts together when we're talking on the air, you can't jump on the phone lines and throw in your 2 cents, send it to me at americatonight.net. Click on the email, and it's easy as pie, boom, to shoot them my way. And from the time that first left my lips, I'm serious, we have an overflow. When I check the mail every day, I mean, I think I would be stunned. It'd be kind of like if you were a person who got a lot of direct mail. Are you one of those people, for some reason, they just thought the direct mail, while it's still around, is following you, and you go out to the mailbox, and you have all these different crazy offers, and it's almost too much. It's like spam, but it's real spam. It's a pain, but you get it every day, because nobody sends letters anymore, so you get maybe some bills if you're old school, and you get all this other nonsense in your mailbox, but you're used to it. So there's always the lure that there might be something good in there, I guess. But you're just used to going and getting it, and you don't change. I mean, you could probably get rid of some of that. So all of a sudden, one day you go out, there's Zippo there. And then you go out the next day, there's Zippo there. That has never happened on America Tonight. I have never gone to the mailbag, and there hasn't been fresh material. And what a clever, thoughtful audience you are, some of the stuff that you send in. So, giving you the setup, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. This is from Dennis McMahon, our favorite attorney in Vermont. He says, we will get nothing out of Libya, and the cut and run in Iraq will result in a rapid deterioration of that country to the detriment of its people and the loss of our just rights and strategic regional security and economic fairness to the U.S., U.K., Poland, and all other allies who fought there. Our enemies will grab oil that belongs to us for war reparations, expenses of occupation, and entrust for the future of the people we liberated. Foreign policy success? Obama is a foreign policy disaster. What do you think? Does Dennis have a point, America? I agree with him about Libya. I think we get nothing out of Libya, and especially, hey, they're going to Sharia law. So that cuts out the Christians that are there, and it cuts out all the other people, including the females, who now have to live in fear under Sharia, strict Sharia law. And in Iraq, sadly, let's hope this doesn't happen. I'll just say I'm in between on this because I can't help it. The optimist tug inside me says, oh, please, please, let us get war reparations. What we could do with that money, let me count the ways. And since we did spend a bundle, we should get the money back because of what we did for the people who were, of course, liberated. Remember the purple thumbs? Remember that? The voting? So he's right. If that place blows up and just reverts back into what it was, or a semblance of what it was, remember all the different religious factions, Shias, Sunnis, Kurds, problems, yeah, on and on from there, and it becomes a nightmare again. It does, unfortunately, leave more than a bad taste in your mouth because of the sacrifices that were made, the blood, the money, and anything else combined in that effort. So to get stiffed would be more than a slap in the face. He's right. That would be a disaster. Certainly the administration is not hoping for that. And they're definitely hoping to get another term. So in trying to get another term, they get everybody out of Iraq and hope that things hold down through the election, because you got 13 months right now to go, and we'll tick off another month here coming up. But we're coming up on that year countdown, and with the troops out, what happens to that country? It's a fair question, certainly, to ask. There's going to be some State Department people that'll be there, and there are going to be some troops available, but not the kind of troops that can bail the country out of a problem. Not the kind of troops that are, quotes, boots on the ground. You can be sure of that. That's already been announced. That's done. That's in stone, as they say. That's in stone. All right, here's one from Jeff Wilson who says, Kate, I don't give a crap about Gaddafi. I don't know why, but a lot is being made about how he died, who took him out, blah, blah, blah. What about all the people that he murdered? What about Pan Am Flight 103? He showed no mercy there. Innocent college students, babies, families, that was ridiculous. And never, ever was he nailed for that. There was a scapegoat that stood in his place, and then ultimately he was let out anyway and let back into Libya. And not just that, but what has Gaddafi over the years done to his people besides rip them off blindly? Some were used as human targets. Others were killed almost just for sport from all the things that I've read. So I would have to say, who cares how Gaddafi died? Yeah. You know what? My initial reaction is to say the same thing, but any Amnesty, Human Rights Watch, any of that kind of stuff, as much as, you know, you think, well, shouldn't he be dragged around the streets like a dog for the way that he murdered and slaughtered people and what he did and the 40 years plus his dictator, but that doesn't have the word human in front of it, does it? So the people did what they had to do. The rebels did what they had to do, and they took him out. There was not going to be any kind of trial for Gaddafi. I don't think that was ever in the cards for him, ever. But you can say fair or foul. Is it worth pursuing? Do you want to know what really happened? How it went down? Who did what? Is that important, or good riddance and move on from that? I say good riddance and move on. but trust me, we haven't heard the last of it. And I don't know, a trial, what would come out at the trial, would that have been more fruitful in a way? Would there have been things that would have been learned there? Would there have been time for people to watch him squirm, let's say? A lot of times the families of victims, it's a weird thing to say, but there's something about that process, the trial process, to hear it, to see it, to bring it all the way around. And, you know, and of course, this is a war situation, but you know what? That was never going to happen. It would have been shocking if it had. That wasn't going to happen. No way. Let's go to, let's see here, Barry David, who says, "Hello, America, tonight. So nice to hear your voice when you have that tone where it sounds, as you say, positive. But there's so much to be negative about, Kate. You talk about the buzz in the backyard. The buzz in the backyard is that people just, frankly, are out of work and are working 2 and 3 jobs. Take myself. I have 4 children. I love my kids. I don't regret having any of those children. My wife is a wonderful woman. We can't afford to have her work. Otherwise, we'd have too many kids in daycare. Our kids are all under 8 years old. So I work, it feels like sometimes almost round the clock, and then I try to muster up all my energy to try to spend some, quotes, quality time with the kids. Something has to give, and, you know, I'm not really whining. I'm just expressing the frustrations that I hear in my hood. Yeah, I would say you got to hang in there. It's tough, and it's what I'm always saying. That's the same thing you're hearing in a lot of places. I mean, you're talking about, I don't care what the neighborhood is, pick a house, pick a, you know, from the 150s to the 400s, where you say, oh, someone's got a $400,000 house, not always what you think, and then they're losing jobs, so all that middle class, lower middle class, strictly the quotes middle class or someone on the upper end, everybody's feeling that pinch, man. It's tough. And I'll tell you what, if somebody came up with the ultimate ironclad solution to that and we saw unemployment with a real way for unemployment to drop and a fast way to turn things around the track, that person becomes president.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time.